Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
Oh, man. You know what's good? We watched the movie Network, and I have to say, this documentary on the origins of Fox News was fascinating and enlightening. I mean, they had so much access back then in the 70s. It was incredible. It's incredible, the stuff that you saw.
This is a fantastic movie. I've only seen it twice in my life now. The first time was 20 years ago, and those were the sentiments I felt exactly. 20 years later, it's still just, it's all there, man. Everything has come true. Sidney Lumet, Patty Chayefsky, like they were onto something. They were absolutely ahead of their time. 51 years.
They did so many like predictions and things in this. And even it seems as if media figures today like copied what actually, you know what I mean? Like what the attraction was to like people being like, what was the term? Capturing the anger of the American people, yeah. Like being their mouthpiece for it. And there's a whole scene where Robert Duvall lays out, I think, the crux of what this is, which is the news division is operating at a loss. Yes. And they have independent control because they're only controlled by corporate. But the network programmers want to get a hold of it so they can make it into entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that's the movie. And then this is why we don't like a lot of news programs today.
51 years ago, there was a rumor that a major conglomerate was going to buy ABC. And that's how this movie came to be. This was everything. Right? Patty Chayefsky was just like, well, if Disney, per se, were to buy ABC, well, then X, Y, and Z would happen. And It happened more with Fox, but yes.
I appreciate to the extent that we're just pushing ratings out in front of things. And like, the way they frame it, because they introduce us to our main character, one of them, Howard Beale, who is having a series of psychotic episodes.
Howard's not at a good point in his life. Before we get to Howard, do you think we should have... You and I were both born. I was born in 1978. You were born in, 1983?
82.
But I feel like we should still give the audience like some kind of idea of what 1976 was like and what 1974, when this story was written, was kind of like. And obviously we were born after that time, but things didn't really change until like the mid-90s. And then they went crazy.
And they went crazy. Although I'm sure Mr. Chayefsky, actually, here's how little I paid attention in film school. I thought Patty Chayefsky was a woman up until today. And I was like, oh, that changes my whole... Anyway, he died, it was like in 1981. So it was 1 year, 2 months, and 10 days before I was born.
Wow.
And he died of cancer at the age 58. Mm-hmm. And I think possibly after seeing this movie... I kind of believe that he opted not to get any treatment for the cancer because Reagan had been in office since January and he died in August.
I watched a couple of documentaries before walking into this office today here at Studio California. But yeah, that's sounds about right, to be honest. He's pretty dude. He's pretty passionate about his beliefs.
Oh, and, boy.
Like he wrote himself a masterpiece here. We'll come back to 1976. So this movie, when everyone's going over the scripts and the logistics, they're like, yeah, we could do this in like 16 weeks, no problem. And he's like, I think we could do this in 11 weeks. And then they ended up doing it in 9 weeks.
Wow.
That's the testament to Sidney Lumet.
Wow. Sidney, my man. And Sidney Lumet, who never outright won an Oscar for one of his efforts, he did receive a Lifetime Oscar, but he also did... the original 12 Angry Men, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, Network, and also The Verdict in 82. Massive career.
Yeah. He scratched and clawed for his life, too.
Mm-hmm. And then while we're mentioning Bonafides, Chayefsky is the only screenwriter to win three best writer or best original screenplay Oscars.
Wow, what were the other two?
The Hospital and The Goddess, both of which
never
didn't
heard
have
either of those.
Exactly. I was reading them. The only details that I pulled out was like The Hospital was about, guess what? A doctor that was trying to find motivation and questioning his own life while there was a serial killer on the loose there.
Wow.
And then the goddess was, I believe, another person having a breakdown and questioning their own life. So there were some themes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There were some themes in there, but they were quartered masterfully into this thing here.
Okay. Well, let's go back to 1976.
Sorry,
there's literally three networks at this point in time. There's nothing like what we have today. We have like, what, over 2,000 TV channels? And that's like nationally? That's domestically in the United States?
It's innumerable. Innumerable.
Yeah. You have like 12 HBOs. You have, you know, four Cinemaxes. More porn channels than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah. There's at least 100 YouTube pages by now, right?
Within at that least. Sentence. Within that sentence.
They were created. Yeah.
So, but 1976, just three networks. So the fact that there was a fourth network in this fictitious world was a different thing. Mm-hmm. And this is the lowest rated network. They're not doing anything. And the conglomerate that owns them now is saying, hey, start making money with the news.
This was the Dumont network. They were trying to do battle with the big boys.
Hmm.
The Dumont Network would later become Fox.
Okay.
Before it was acquired. But Rupert Murdoch. Sorry, continue.
No, you got. And then we spoke about your man, Howard Beale. He's just going through the worst time of his life, and he's just been given his 2 weeks notice.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, him and his boy get drunk one night, and then the next day he's just like, fuck it. He announces he's going to commit suicide publicly on the air.
And this is during his nightly news. He has a news program. He's a broadcaster, and he just signs off with that.
He just sneaks it right on in. And
well, it's before the last break, actually. He's supposed to come back.
Yeah.
And they have to cut him off. And this is, sorry, just before this, this was set up with, just before they have their evening out, the narrator chimes in, who we only get three times. And the narrator is always talking about what Cher, of the audience they had last night. And those numbers are based on, those percentage points are based on the total number of Americans. So they vary, you'd have to go back and track how many folks, they get a lot into the numbers in this, but he had a 28 share at one time for a news program. And that is impressive.
That's apparently a lot.
That's a lot. That is a lot. But then his career kind of went sideways, and then his wife died, and then he kept having less and less share and ratings. So, you know, it was time for him to retire too.
Yeah.
So it was bad times, and they only have a couple of shots. They didn't do a ton of, because I guess because they were slamming through the schedule. There's a gorgeous, when they're out on the town, the two friends, old friends, which is Max, the news directory guy, and then there's Howard, his the anchorman guy.
Wilden and they're out in the town. Peter Finch.
There it is. They're telling a story out there, and it is 70s New York at night. It's just gorgeous with those old angled cab windows lined up going down Broadway. It was just like, oh, there it is. But then they just give you a taste, and then that's it.
Yeah.
They move on. And when they set up the news organization, the fictional news organization, TV channel that they're in is UBS. And so UBS is a building, but right before it, they show the other three guys, the CBS, NBC, and ABC buildings in New York at the time.
Hmm.
Really early on, they set up Faye Dunaway as a sociopath. She just is good at her job, and just the only thing she wants to pay attention to is what will work. And we get a very strong draw of morals, you know, don't matter. We don't.
She's all about the corporation. She's all about making that rating. She loves her job. She loves broadcast. She loves production.
Yeah, she's into it. She's into all of that. And they set up very early that it's like, yeah, what if we take this footage and of them shooting people in a bank and into the ceiling and stuff, and we make it into a show, and then we get more footage from them, and we do that too. And already right there, I was like, well, yeah, but then the FBI would arrest you. that's what would happen, yeah. Especially because they're like, look at these black, you know, they're rising up, and these folks. And it was like, immediately it was like, yeah, I don't know. Do we forget in 1976, we were just saying like, hey, everybody, here's what it was like. The FBI was real, like, we were scared of black folks and liberation and all that. Like, this, they did some terrible things and shot, like, this wouldn't, I mean, I know that they're this corporation and everything, and it goes with the story. And I was like, Dick, we'll just, I'll just set that aside here. They're just doing it. They're just in this. Mm-hmm. They've created the Ecumenical Liberation Army, which at the time it was parallel to the Symbionese Liberation Army, which they mention as is going on, the Patty Hearst kidnappers and brainwashers.
Yeah, it's weird. They mention a lot of things that are happening in that reality with their fiction. It's assassinations.
And it's great because it was like they mention real details. Like, another attempt on Gerald Ford's life. And he's like, I will not be cowed by these fucking, you know, assholes and assassins. Like, I'm not going to stay put inside the White House. And those were things going on. And there's the pacing in this is also very 1976, because we have several of the same moment happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
Where he goes on the air, and then they're like, that was crazy. You're off the air. No, you're off the air, Howard. You just said you'd kill yourself. You're never going on the air. And then Max, the news director, sorry.
No, go ahead, man.
Max, his buddy, the news director, he attends a shareholder meeting where the ambitious Robert Duvall, who has come from the corporation that bought out UBS's shares, is saying, like, we're going to put the news division, just like Faye Dunaway said, under the network division, and it's going to be entertain. You know, we're gonna restructure it. It's going to stop operating at a loss. And Max felt that he was betrayed by his other buddy, who is not the network president, but the other guy, somebody in the ownership board. And that guy was like, sorry, we'll talk about it tomorrow, dude. Don't freak. So they let Howard back on the air, and he starts to freak out again, staying. he starts talking about how he ran out of bullshit. It's like, I just was speaking bullshit and now I'm not. And it just makes so much more sense.
And that's the thing that sets them off, is that he literally uses the word bullshit. I really don't think they would have given a shit of what he had to say had he not said the word bullshit.
They keyed on bullshit and then they brought that together. And then, they would probably get slapped with some kind of obscenity thing from the FCC. I think this is 76. Maybe this world was in 75, but I think that obscenity thing got through in 73.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so we immediately get pivoted over to Faye Dunaway, her rise to prominence as in programming, when she's trying to get more, you know, get this new show to do good numbers. And she's proposing that they take this footage and package it together, or they put a psychic on the show and she guesses the news and then people tune in back in to see if they're right. And she says, even the news needs showmanship. And it's like, he very solidly has it cornered, where it's like, news shouldn't be entertainment. And we hit this in different ways through the whole thing. And then we get to the detail here. I don't know if there's anyone want to jump in, because I'm just hitting the beats, is that Faye Dunaway reveals that she has had a crush on Max ever since he spoke in the University of Missouri, where she, her alma mater, when she was young.
Yeah, Faye Dunaway has no filter in this movie. Like, her character just speaks her mind. What she's thinking is what she's going to say in 3 seconds later. She admits to her crush. She finds out that he's married, and she's like, well, we got to go to my place then, because that's not going to work.
And also, too, she backhandedly asks him out, where she lays out there that's like, well, I saw a psychic and it said I would be getting to an emotional thing with an older man today, and I'd sit in his office. You know what I mean? It was just like she was like waving the flag there, and he was like, okay, I'm going along with this. And she also phrased things in this like talking in the third person. We're talking about our own lives and situations and then this happens, and then you're going to say this, and then the stunning return, and then commercial break, which was like, oh no, that's a great way to phrase it. But it's also like, she is also in her own mind dictating reality.
She's programming her life as a TV show.
Exactly. Tragically, I think I use that phrasing, so I may have to discard that now, but, so they do go back to her place, and I thought they would just leave this as like a, did they fuck that night? They definitely fucked.
They definitely fucked.
Fucked. And so we get another scene, and this is at the point where you're like, oh, buddy, you should need to go to a hospital. How, we just see Howard that night wake up, and he says, later we found out it's at 2 a.m., and he's having a conversation with somebody you can't hear. And it's like, he's schizophrenic. He's having some kind of break here. Like, he should be in a hospital.
Yeah, he's having a nervous breakdown for sure. And he just, it ends up with Howard. Howard was crashing on the couch. And because Max never came home, Howard ended up just wandering the streets of 1976 New York all by himself in a raincoat.
Yeah.
And he's gone for like 36 hours, I want to say.
Totally.
Maybe not even that long, but Howard eventually does show back up. He comes back to the network during broadcast, and he just starts talking crazier shit.
And he's wet and in a robe.
He's making a scene for sure, and they are loving that.
It's trouble. I would love to play, it's right at minute 45, Howard describes the voice in his office about how, he's like, I think the Hindus call it chana. I'm filled with the energy. I commune with nature and the animals. And it's like, buddy, buddy. And then he faints right after that because he's like, I am the prophet. And he just like, it's too much. Yeah, he should have been in a hospital a bunch of times there. And
Immediately.
Yeah. Robert Duvall then fires Max because we find out the network head had a small heart attack. So he's acting head. So he fires Max. He gives the division to Faye Dunaway. And so she goes about another like long-standing Fox tradition just to put crazy people on the air. they just go forward. They just jump right into having his own segment speech in here. And this is around the time when we get probably the most iconic thing out of this movie is when he's getting the people to chant, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to get it anymore. Like, he storms towards the camera. Mm-hmm. And it's a great scene where Faye Dunaway is like, oh my God, he just told people to go to the window and yell. And she's having folks in the booth call the affiliates. And it's like, yeah, Baton Rouge, you're yelling out the air. It's like, oh my gosh. And then we go to Max back in his house with his wife, who he has cheated on, and his kids there. And he hears outside, people are just out yelling out the window. And you're like, oh my gosh, yeah.
This is a great scene, and I wish we had the clip for it, but we'll have to make it up to y'all another time. Yeah. Or you could just watch Network if you haven't already, because
there you go. Like Kai and said, the timestamp, frankly, 53 minutes and 45 seconds for anybody that wants to jump into it right there.
53:43. Here's the dope fact about the Mad as Hell scene. So they had access to a building that was going to be demolished in New York.
Oh, there you go.
So they got over 100 extras to occupy every room, every window.
Perfect.
But then they had also light every room and every window and supply power to that. Oh. And it pretty much exhausted the resources of the lighting grip department.
Mm. Oh, well, good stuff. Yeah, put those boys to work. And there's no, and in that, there's probably elevators aren't working in there. So they're huffing up. Six-floor walk-ups there.
They got the scene done in one night. A Friday night, so they could bleed it into Saturday, and then no one would have to work Saturday.
Oh, Sidney Lumet, a beast!
Yeah.
That is amazing. And again, if we had updated this, you know, for the modern Fox audience, it's like, I'm as mad as hell, and it's all the fault of the immigrants. That just, let's yell that out the window, everybody.
Well, that's Fox News.
That's the Fox News. So, at this point, we should also mention that UBS and specifically Howard's show, the narrator comes back and mentions that he is doing $6 million man numbers as a news show.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting like a 50 share, which is that's half the country watching your program.
At one point, the narrator maybe even was in the same segment, but he's like, he came in fourth place behind the $6 million man, Rhoda. And like All in the Family or something. Or it wasn't even Rhoda. It was the spinoff to Rhoda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They drop, and I do like that, they drop comparisons of the shows that it's competing with and then other things in that ecosystem. It makes it real, especially because this is taken away from us. Like, there are things that get grandfathered into movies where it's like, you'll see Mickey Mouse appear on a TV in a movie in the 80s, and you're like, whoa, you don't see that anymore. And it's like, even mentioning a lot of things now, you can't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Legal would kill it, you know, in movies. So you get things that aren't exactly real. And so, yeah, you don't get movies with NFL teams in them or or other proper products. So someone's using, Spider-Man's using Bing. That immediately bumps you. Where you're like, no, no. No, he's not. And it's around this time that Faye Dunaway is starting the Mao Zedong Hour. And it's just about, you know, Faye Dunaway has lumped all of the liberation / communist / people's / empowerment movements together. And she's like, just do a big show. And she's speaking to a known communist, Laureen Hobbs. And she just assumes that she knows this guy named Ahmed Khan, who is the leader of their ecumenical liberation army, because mm-hmm. they're black. And yeah. she does. So not racist, not at all.
Still happened.
And so it still happened. And so then they get a show going, and they're doing other programming of other crazy things because they're having success now. They have a relevant, they have the number one show like in that category for that slot, and it's rising up their other shows. Mm-hmm. And the shareholders love it, and they're toasting Faye and Robert Duvall, and it's the best.
They're talking $100,000 a minute for advertising.
I mean, that's awesome. And then also too, I love Howard's new set with the rotating platforms.
Yes.
And they bring the psychic on, and they have the Vox Populi, which is sort of like, call on it or vote. And then they have other crazy people on the show. And then they just let Howard do his thing. He's yelling about the country and the things. And there was a line earlier where it's still innocent that Howard just had this breakdown, and it only happened a couple times. And they're sort of discussing it in terms of like, well, why is he doing it? Especially when Howard isn't like up or manic or like having one of these episodes. And he's like, no. Don't turn it down. Maybe I'd like to do it again. This is before it gets popular. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Max has this abstract where he goes like, yeah, you're like the angry prophet. You're exposing hypocrisies. And it's like, yeah, if only. And again, I hate bringing back Fox News for this. Like, the hypocrisy part. We just have the anger part.
Yeah.
But that identifies, and we see that's one of the most popular parts because it's like they do connect to this feeling. Like, they set it up as like, there's the recession. The air is polluted. The food is crap. People are buying up. You know, it's sort of like the anger is there, but then we've fomented it in a certain direction. They really seize on that later when they're trying to correct Howard because he says something that displeases the board.
Yeah, they're taking it as a joke at first. And mm-hmm. then, like, the ratings are pouring in, people are tuning in, and then all of a sudden, people are just kind of over it. The ratings start to dip. They're slowly dipping, but they're still dipping. Mm-hmm. And then, for sure, Howard talks some shit about Saudi Arabia when he shouldn't have.
Ooh, yeah, he says, like, don't you see the Saudis? They're buying everything. And it's like, maybe it's because of Paddy Chayefsky. I was like, I know that, or like, I'm not surprised. So maybe I owe him something. But if I saw that today, it was like, wake up, sheeple. Don't you see corporations run everything? We're like, yeah, take a number, buddy. I get it. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, but this was all brand new in 1976.
It's brand spanking new. I wish I could have that same. That's, you know, movies that people like are cemented in and big and impactful. This cleaned up a bunch of Oscars. It was going against All the President's Men that year. It held its own. But yeah, I mean, time and inference and other ways, people carried the torch of like, let's freak people out, man. And they made those different kinds of movies. Mm-hmm. Definitely a touchstone. But then this is all tame-ish by today's standards. Even scenes that I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I wish I could be impressed at the scene where Faye Dunaway is talking about, well, look, I want the government to sue us because the FBI, I mean, Robert Duvall just told them to fuck off. Hackett is his name. Mm-hmm. Hackett just told them to fuck off. And they were like, oh, we're going to bring charges. And it was like, oh, we're going to talk about the First Amendment. And then it'll be great. Imagine the ratings. And it's like, they're having sex while she's saying this.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
I know. I imagine at the time it was, oh God, that's so, you know, she's a sociopath and intuitive and she climaxes real fast and this and all this stuff. And it's like,
it's the only time she climaxes too. She has a big speech about that earlier where she's like, old boyfriends tell her she's the worst lay ever. But now that she's with her mentor, pretty much, like she's not only bragging about what he should be into, but she's also telling him how much she's doing it better. Like, she's doing shit that's never been done in TV before. And that's what gets her off.
And that's what gets her off. And I'm like, I wish, because I'm overloaded. I'm fucked out with things that are supposed to be shocking or scary. There's just like, or like scandalous even. It's like, cool. No, I still give it a ton of credit. I do. However, it was like, yeah, cool. I got it. It was like, check. Great. This is great.
I can't disagree. The more she was talking about the crazy shit she was doing, I was like, yeah, girl, talk dirty to me. I like this.
Oh, but, it's, and like, it was.
You sold James Bond, 5 James Bond movies for $3 million. Ooh, girl.
And you're going to put Idris Elba in them? Oh,
probably.
Yeah, I think that's the move. That's the move. I heard somebody trot out that old tired argument. It's like, James Bond isn't black. I'm like, James Bond is not real. Oh my God. Yes, he can be black. Because he's not. He doesn't. Oh gosh. Oh my God. Sorry. And you would be fucking lucky to have Idris do that. He has to go voice some animals in a Disney movie. But just sit tight, all right? He'll be back around.
Sorry. Or Idris could just make his own independent badass spy film too.
Yes. Well,
no?
Many have tried and done that, but give him the crown, guys. Just do it. All right, we're back to network. Okay, so when he goes after the Saudis because they're buying out the corporation that bought out UBS, and he's like, and again, we're inciting anger against brown people. Interesting. So it's going through the ratings, we're through the roof. But then he does this and he tells people to send telegrams to the White House saying to stop the trade. Yeah. And there's a line in his rant this time where he says, television isn't the truth, it's a circus. And you're like, I mean, this 1976, it's friggin' like, bam. He
gives them a goal too, and they exceed it. He's only asking for 1 million telegrams, and the final number ends up being like 4.5 million or something. It's
something crazy. Yeah. With his 50 share, he's swinging it around. And that's this will happen a couple scenes later, but his next plot point is
it only goes further down.
Yeah, his next plot point is talking to the chairman of the board wants to talk to him, and. The board chair basically explains how explains how capitalism exists and how it's an oligopoly and just like corporations control everything because they have all the money. And it's like, again, at the time, it must have been just like, oh my God, like it is that way. And it's like, yeah, what did you think it was? Like, it's just, you know, you get crushed by these different things.
Ned Beatty worked one day on the set. And was quoted as saying, actors should never turn down work. I worked one day on the set of Network and got an Oscar nomination for it.
Mm. That is fascinating. Oh, and speaking of never turn down work and working one day, it's about this time that Max tells his wife about the affair. Maybe it was a little bit before. But Max goes to his wife and says, I've been seeing Faye Dunaway. And Beatrice Straight, the actress who plays his wife, has only said half a line before this, which was, hey, Howard escaped early in the morning. And then she walks in and knocks a monologue about not separating out of the fucking park. She just gives it, like, she sells this thing. And I was like, whoa. And because she has not really been in the movie, it really grabs her attention. And for this one monologue. Mm-hmm. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and she won Best Supporting Actress for 2 minutes of screen time. That, I mean, I'm impressed. This podcast, I've stood up. I've stood up. And oh my God. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so she won a Best Supporting on that one. That was deserving or not, that one scene was like, holy cow, that's good stuff. And also they work some really cute scenes in here, like when the network suits are working out reimbursement contracts with the Ecumenical Liberation Army, mm-hmm. and they're in their weird hideout that's like it's an abandoned house, and they have their like stockpiles of weapons around, and there's some beautiful lines about like, the proletariat will not be silenced by the actions of these oligarchs, and we need a 2% share before syndication. And, you know, Ahmed Khan fires his gun into the wall, and they continue on. And then the network guy says, like, no one's going to believe this. It's a cute scene, but again, it's tame. And we're intentionally ignoring that they would have been found and arrested by this point. Because it'd be like, the FBI would be like, that cannot be popular. That cannot get around. We will stop this. The Department of Justice will call the FCC and revoke your broadcast. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the level of panic that they were about that. It was like, yeah, but if we're taking this, no, yeah, dude, we executed people that wanted mm-hmm. these sentiments out there.
I'm just saying that 51 years ago, everyone knew that,
the court system. No, that's true. That's true. And that's why we're giving it a pass in that way.
Mr. Chayefsky, he wasn't hip to all that. He was just
like, no, we did. The theme being that the suits don't care. They're in it for the money, mm-hmm. which is like, that's what the scene sells. And that's why it's like, yes, excellent. And then he did us the courtesy of saying, like, we just said F you to the FBI. Who cares about the ramifications? It's like, yes, this still works in that way. Like, this whole scene could have happened, and then they get arrested like a week later. Like, yes, no, absolutely. Let's see. Hired Saudis. Board chair explained how capitalism works. I wrote a thing about Paddy Chayefsky. Also, and it was about this point, too. We're like, we're into the movie, and this movie's 2 hours, and I had said, like, I'm giving it credit because it is a historic film, and so many of these performances and the themes here. Mm-hmm. But it is like, I don't like any of these characters. No? None of them are good people. Okay. It's like, no, I'm saying like morally, they're all like, yes, it's checkered and gray. And it's like, mm-hmm. and because it's gone on, it's like it's going on. Like, we could turn this down mm-hmm. to a 98. You know what I mean? Like, you could knock some dust off this one.
Let me hijack the conversation for a second, Kai. There's several moments at this point in the movie where a term towards men is being used, and that's menopausal so-and-so. Yeah, what is that all about?
Male menopause. Male menopause. Barbara Walters.
Is that a thing?
I think that was just, I don't remember that specifically.
Is that a thing?
I think
that was a thing?
I'm not sure again. However, I do think that, I mean, they was just employing like what you used to, 20 years ago, you would say like, no, you went on Oprah and talked about your feelings. It's the same like, oh, you have male menopause, or you're going through he didn't want to say you're having a midlife crisis, or you're, his wife stated it like, no, you're going into your winter romance and that's where your passion is. Faye Dunaway was using it in a different way where it's like, him liking her was this version of, oh, you're feeling your oats and you're old and whatever. But his wife framed it as you're taking your lusts elsewhere. So it was like kind of two sides of that same coin. Actually, that's how I read it and just moved on with it. But no, I remember what you were talking about. And I was like, she's just using it in reference because she can't use emotional terms to describe how she talks. She's using TV show things as examples, which I enjoyed whenever they did that. Mm-hmm. But specifically too, even though there's scenes where Max is supposed to be our moral highlight, and of course, Patty very cleverly, it's like, yeah, even though we're supposed to agree with Max, he's a fucking asshat. It's like, could you just stay with your wife? You legged it out for 25 years. I know this, whatever, but it's like, you're burning down that house for the sociopath. I was just like, fine.
That's the crazy fine. Girls are always the most fun. And however, Max does get the guilties, and he does leave her. And
they have a scene where just before he leaves her, she's on the fence, and he's telling the sociopath he's living with, he just wants her to love him.
And she's like, what?
We've explored this theme so many times now that by the time the idea got to me that you're like doing the with this woman that doesn't understand, it's like, it's tired. At the time, they framed it in you live in TV world. You're in your own thing or this. It was like, again, I'm trying to give it credit and prior points that I did culturally, because you hit the refresh button with like, everybody put the 76 glasses on. Shit was different. Mm-hmm. So this, that plays into that, but it's about this time that they have the other, probably my favorite scene in the movie, because it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And again, cute, but they can't find a replacement for Howard after his ratings slip. Again, this is the third appearance of the narrator. All he talks about is ratings. And the guy, it sounds like the dude that did the narration for the Monty Python, The Meaning of Life. And it was like, there was a Monty Python-esque element to it, because they're all, oh, Faye wants to fire Howard, but she also fires Max, in essence. And she impugns his coxswainship, Kush.
Yeah, yeah. Why you always gotta talk about our genitalia?
But that Max gets the last laugh, because he points out that because the network is going down in flames and that's all she has, and if she has self-admitted she does nothing else well, he goes, you're probably going to commit suicide in a couple of years. Just jump out the window of your 14th floor or whatever, because this network's going sideways. I'm like, you can't, you know, you don't have anything else. Damn. And then he uses his own phrasing. He taunts his living sociopath with her own script-based story language, where it's like, the older man, he realizes his folly and returns to his wife. Previews of next week, and he walks out the door, and you're like, oh, you fucking stuck her. And she takes a teacup out of a cabinet, and her hand is shaking, and she slams it down. It was like, and she, that's just a little tip off to like, you know, he's right. And he says TV ruins this just like it ruins everything. But this is the scene, dude. This is the scene where they're all around. Then I'm like, this was worth it. Where it's like, they just have all of the TV suits around the table discussing how they're going to get the Liberation Army to kill Howard.
Yeah.
To assassinate him. And that'll boost the ratings and it'll be a good way out. And it's like, yeah, I mean, of course, that is the most obvious answer here. And they set it up, and he can slip out the back.
They agree unanimously, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then again, by this point, the FBI would just make sure everyone who's already recording this and everyone around that table goes to jail for a double life sentence. They just, oh, man. But the prism in which that he has brought us to this point, where now this makes sense to all of these people, brilliant. Because he did take these little steps in showing, like, well, wait, what if you just turn the news division, which is supposed to translate reality to all the people who are mad and whatever, what if you just turn it into entertainment, and then being the most entertainment is important, and then this conversation is necessary. And that is the, I mean, that to me, that's the brilliance of the movie, where it's like, no, we have to kill our own people.
Seems a little harsh, but if that's what you get out of it, I don't know.
That's what I got.
The point is, they do kill Howard Beale, and we get the narrator one last time, and he says, Howard's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we close the movie. And that's Network.
That's Network, everybody.
Yeah.
And then if you had to guess, how does it play out like in the next couple steps? I mean, do they maintain their prominence? Do they replay? What do they? You know what I mean? I'm like,
I think they make their incarnation of Temptation Island and go from there and just evolve from there or devolve from there.
I know, just because it's like, if you could have shown Patty Chayefsky, it's like, check this out. You see this? It's called, it's a show where these fucking dumb bitches, they fight over like Jesse Palmer, and then they get married at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been running for like 28 seasons. He just would have taken his own life right there. He just would have, fuck it. He just would have put the gun in his mouth. I mean, everyone would have gotten three Oscars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's where we've gone is like, yeah, he was right. We lost. Mm-hmm. Everybody lost.
Yeah. Released November 27th. 1976 on a budget of $3.8 million. It grossed $23.7 million.
Wow.
It was released 1 week after Rocky, which would be the number one movie of 76. This
John
would come
Avildsen
in at number 12 for the year.
Pow. John Avildsen took home the best director, and it also took home best picture that year.
Yeah, Sidney Lumet openly upset about that still to this day.
That was a tough pill to swallow there for him. But I wouldn't give. In retrospect, though, I wouldn't give. I'm happy with this getting best screenplay and Rocky not getting best screenplay. That's fine.
The actor who played Howard Beale, Peter Finch, up dying January 14th, 1977, and would be the first actor to win a posthumous Oscar.
Aww. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. He was good. And then Faye Dunaway, best actress, took home that one. Mm-hmm. And as we were saying, Miss Beatrice Straight won best supporting for 2 minutes of screen time. Mm-hmm. And then it was our other boy who showed up for that one day and got nominated. So this nominations were tumbling out of this thing.
Yeah, this thing was just bleeding nominations. So best writing, Paddy Chayefsky, all the best actors.
Not a woman. Spoke about. It's P-A-D-D-Y.
D-D-Y. You'd think it was Irish, but no.
Oh, no, it was not.
Nominated Best Picture, William Holden, that was Max. Best Actor, Ned Beatty. Best Supporting Actor, Best Director, Sidney Lumet. Best Cinematography, Owen Roswell. And Best Editing, Alan Heim. Those were all the nominees. But, yeah, it cleaned up that year.
Mm. Well, there we go.
Kai, would you recommend this to people?
Whew. Not across the board to everybody.
No? Who wouldn't you recommend this to?
Just, if I detected that you didn't have a long attention span, this is not going in your inbox.
Okay, that's fair.
And people that can't really get an appreciation out for things, how things used to be, I would say, because it's sort of like, I was battling that in myself for like, well, this isn't, you know what I mean? It's like, it was a different time, guys. Like, it was a prediction about where they were and where they might go. And then we largely went there. So, and you know, if you're curious about that kind of media perception and you want to see some great actors just having it out on, you know, on screen, do it. And if you want to learn about film, this goes on your short list here. Like, you should see why this happened and why it got all those Oscars and why it was honored. That it's very important in that way.
Yes.
But I had to disclaimer it like three or four times. Like, I know at the time, I wish I could have felt XYZ. And I was being very generous too, to like make sure I had that hat on. So I can't really speak for maybe that others would just be like, that was amazing, which maybe they would.
No, it's a solid 2 hours. I'm happy we covered it on this show. I don't have any plans to ever see it again.
Yeah.
But if I do, I will not be disappointed.
Yeah. There are definitely things I would pay attention to differently going through it. But, and again, yeah, well written, very well written, very well put together. The characters have these different quirks and weight and consistencies to them. But
do you think this could be remade?
I think it probably had. Like, we could probably come up with a short list of folks that were like, listen, Aaron Sorkin, we need you to do a news guy that's over it, right? Like,
that's hilarious that you mentioned that. Aaron Sorkin takes credits this movie as a source of inspiration for him.
There you go. When that's what we have, what's that, Jeff Bridges? Daniels? Jeff Daniels? He's in the newsroom?
Oh, Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, yeah. It's like, it's a version of that. Gotcha. He did create a subgenre of the angry prophet newsman that cropped up.
I think I only saw one episode of that.
I saw the first episode and I was like, great. And then the world got way crazy around us and it was like, yeah, I'm good. the same, you know what's weird? That's a good trend to sort of pay attention to, because like, this is the same reason I stopped watching Homeland. It was like, the terrorists might do this and whatever. No, not. Yeah. Because it was the real terrorists, that was right when the Paris attacks happened. And it was like, wow. That's happening. What are you talking about? Like, this was like a waste of my time. This fantasy where you're stopping and do it. Anyway,
I get you.
Two sides of that coin. So that's been ruined by reality. Reality being too crazy has turned me off to fictional shows, which is weird. And then, yes, you could remake this movie. I know that because it's constantly being remade.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Would you recommend this movie?
I just did.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I think that's it for the bottom of the pile.
Follow us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Cushion Kai. You know the website, cushionkai.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, your mom's house, Cushion
Kai. Rock it. All right, thank you again to producer Hakey. Shout out over there.
Shout out to Hakey.
Coming at you from Studio California. A lovely spot. Tune back in. We'll see you next time.
Rock on.
Peace out. Rock on, Kush.
Rock on, Kush.